56. Also, it is not the case that all women or men enter a marriage alliance. Rather, some remain completely single or lead an unmarried relationship with a partner, which is also possible for same-sex couples. 57. Once men are in an alliance with a partner or with several of these, they do not turn to any other women in the way that they would have sexual contacts with them, for such are, in fact, only maintained in partnerships. 58. If a single state is given, then an intimate friendship, which allows a sex life, can very well exist. 59. But on the other hand, there are also single females and males who live free of sexual relationships, and their reasons for this are of the most diverse and absolutely personal nature. 60. Thus, there are with us, in reference to the exercising of the sex life, marriage alliances, unmarried relationships, or intimate friendships, which allow a sex life. 61. Prostitution last appeared with us plagiarians 34,761 years ago and, since then, has never been exercised again. 62. At that time, a provision for its prohibition was also issued, in reference to the practice and utilization of the degrading form of sexual love servants. 63. And all plagiarians have always strictly held to it. 64. And since that time, even when other worlds are visited, etc., no plagiarian has violated this regulation. Consequently, they would also never take advantage of love servants. 65. All plagiarians are able to control their sexual desires in such a way that they would never commit a wrong action in this regard. 66. Thus, for 34,000 years, the whole thing has also had the effect that since then, no more sexually transmitted diseases have ever appeared among the plagiarians, as was previously the case. 67. This may sound very unlikely and strange to the Earth people, but it corresponds to the actual truth. 68. As for abstinence, 69. Our established determination-related interpretation of abstinence does not mean that a sex life will not or should not be maintained. 70. With us, sexual abstinence means that we control ourselves in our sex lives in such a way that no descendants are witnessed, and therefore, we give ourselves to abstinence in this respect. 71. This guideline applies to all single persons as well as to all couples who live in unmarried relationships. 72. But this likewise applies to couples in marriage alliances, when the established maximum of 3 children has been witnessed. 73. In this regard, our guidelines are based on the fact that only actual couples in regular marriage alliances may witness descendants, otherwise, they have to control themselves sexually in such a way that no descendants are witnessed. 74. But this doesn't mean, as I already explained, that a sex life isn't supposed to be or isn't allowed to be maintained, for with humans, the sex act, in contrast to animals, etc., isn't just a pure act of propagation or of generating descendants, rather, it is also conditioning for the health of the psyche and the physical body, which is why for the human species, a controlled sex life, but one that is held within the normal framework, is of enormous importance. Billy, thanks. Your explanations should probably be detailed enough. Can you now tell me, when and by whom the first mechanical clockwork on Earth was invented and created? As one explained to me, this is not well known. Do you know anything at all in this respect? Quetzal, 75. It was a man named Agarich Sickle, who invented the first mechanical clockwork in the middle of the 13th century. 76. He lived in the city that is now named Cologne. Billy, so no Swiss can claim the honor of being the inventor of the first mechanical clockwork, even though the best precision clocks are produced in Switzerland. This supposition was, indeed, expressed. Quetzal, 77. Really? Billy, yes. It was actually supposed that a Swiss had invented the first mechanical clockwork. But for me, this makes no difference, and I may grant Germany this plus point of the invention history. And as we're talking about technology, the question is whether you can explain how energy is obtained from Mera's thermosphere, which, like with us, is around 2000 degrees hot, if you may explain this. Quetzal, 78. The fact that we obtain energy from the thermosphere does not fall under secrecy. 79. Concerning the technical details, however, I may give no information officially because according to our directives, this would be an unauthorized intervention in the technological development, which would plunge the Earth people into a catastrophe. 80. Once it is considered that the Earth people repurpose practically all their valuable technological inventions and achievements in apparatuses and devices, in order to cause destruction with these, especially in terms of wars and the destruction of nature, then they would also abuse these insights. 81. If the earthly scientists would have knowledge of the utilization of the thermosphere's energy, then they would construct the thermosphere energy technology into an all-destroying weapon, by which entire countries could be burnt to ashes within seconds. Billy, I take it from your words that the utilization of such a weapon from the thermosphere's energy would be much more powerful, worse, and devastating than this could ever be, even through the strongest atom bomb. It would probably burn everything to ashes and cinder and, perhaps, even melt the rock and the soil. Am I right in this acceptance? Quetzal, 82. Your acceptance is exactly correct. 83. Through a weapon of this kind, microorganic life would also be destroyed until deep into the soil. Billy, am I also right, then, in accepting that the thermosphere of the Earth provides practically inexhaustible energies? Quetzal, 84. Yes, that acceptance is also correct. Billy, it's good that the Earthlings cannot use this energy of the thermosphere yet and still have no technological possibilities with it. Then still another question, what all can stress cause? Quetzal, 85. Stress is a very dangerous factor that attacks and damages the immune system, through which the body becomes vulnerable to all sorts of illnesses. 86. Therefore, if a person suffers from stress, then he must also count on various illnesses, which relate to the body and all its organs as well as to the entire autonomous or autonomic nervous system and everything connected with it. 87. However, the thoughts and feelings are also impaired by stress, through which also psychological and consciousness-related impairments and psychological illnesses can appear. 88. So for example, also neuroses, psychopathy, and psychoses, etc. are caused by stress. Billy, in my opinion, psychological terror produces unusually great stress, I think. Quetzal, 89. That is correct. Billy, years ago, you once said that also in the new millennium, several new diseases and illnesses will arise, of which, until then, the people will still have no notion and will be affected by these. Occasionally, it should also concern diseases or illnesses that transfer from animals, birds, and fish to humans and, thus, break through the species barrier, which will then cost many human lives. Also diseases and illnesses from outer space should be introduced at a later time, if I remember your words correctly. Quetzal, 90. You have a very good memory, my friend. Billy, thanks. Priest Zimmerman already said, without me wanting to express self-praise, that I am a mnemonic. Quetzal, 91? 92? Mnemonic, that word is unknown to me. Billy, sorry. It's also not a German word but rather a Greek one. It means to have a very good memory. The term derives from Greek mythology, in which the Greek goddess of memory and the mother of the muses bears the name Mnemosyne. Quetzal, 93. Thanks for the instruction. 94. That really was unknown to me. Billy, one really can't know everything. Just think of how often I stand like a donkey on a mountain, when someone tells me something that sounds to me as though a cow would speak in Spanish. Quetzal, 95. Probably a bad comparison, since you understand some Spanish. Billy, I'm really no longer far along with that, as well as not with various other languages, with which I could get by in different countries. Since I don't need them anymore, they are largely lost to me. Just with Greek and English, I can still speak somewhat brokenly. But if, now, my comparison with the Spanish-speaking cow doesn't suit you, then I can also say that the things that are often said to me appear as Chinese or as incomprehensible hieroglyphs to me. Quetzal, 96. I have very well understood the sense of your words, it's just that the comparison seemed to be somewhat inappropriate, since you, Billy, all right, my friend. You sometimes just take everything too literally. But I am now at the end of my tether. Quetzal, 97. Again, that is such an expression, Billy, which means that I know nothing more or that I have nothing more to explain and nothing more to ask. Quetzal, 98. So that is meant. 99. Well, then I would now like to drink another glass of your good wine with you, if you still have this beverage. Billy, you probably mean the peach wine. Of course, I still have that here. I'm honestly glad that I may offer you a glass and may drink one together with you. I can suffer a glass, because of my medicines, you know. Then here, you can take the glasses out of the cupboard, meanwhile, I will bring in the bottle from outside. 227th Contact, Saturday, March 11, 1989, 6:48 a.m., Billy. It's nice to see you again so unexpectedly, my friend. As always, be sincerely welcomed. Quetzal, 1. Be greeted. 2. Very especially, I am also to give you greetings from Semjes, Askit, and Nera. 3. For my part, I was with them for a visit. 4. All three were very happy when I told them about you. Billy, thanks. Hopefully, you also paid my greetings. Quetzal, 5. I have very well done that. 6. But with what do you occupy yourself here? Billy, this is an inquiry that I have to answer. I have just made another note for this and am now finished. Sorry. Quetzal, 7. There is no reason for that because as I see, I have disturbed you in this work. 8. Thus, I have to apologize for my unexpected appearance. Billy, there is also no reason for that because it is really a very great joy for me to see you. Quetzal, 9. My coming also has a certain importance because I have to report the following to you, 10. Your ongoing, unofficial contacts with Tua, so it was decided, will again be in such a way, starting from the coming month of November, that you can mention them openly again to the group members and to the public. 11. Also, you will write down the contact conversations with him again and will be allowed to make them publicly accessible. 12. From then on, Tua will be your main, official contact person, but also several others will appear, who will then maintain the contacts on behalf of Tua. Billy, but the further contacts should still be continued again by Askit. Quetzal, 13. That is correct. 14. The whole thing was made impossible, however, through your health collapse, and especially for the reason that your telepathic abilities took damage through your very serious health and even life-threatening collapse on the 4th of November, 1982, in the way that you are now severely impaired in these abilities. Billy, but I'm still always trying to bring everything back in order, consequently, everything also goes again quite orderly. Quetzal, 15. As usual, you understate, because what you have accomplished in terms of restoring your health and your telepathic ability as well as ability to work was not just an effort but an inhuman exertion and achievement, as I would like to say. 16. Only very, very few of the group members, namely only Eva, Bernadette, and Engelbert, have truly perceived, appreciated, and recognized, in fundamental and affecting astuteness, that you have accomplished an inhuman achievement. 17. And that this was and is so, represents an undeniable fact because for many years, you have actually been closer to death than to life, and still, you've accomplished an immeasurably valuable achievement. Billy, you make me embarrassed, my friend, because I have only behaved and acted in such a way as any sensible person would do, who clings to life and who still also has to fulfill a task. Quetzal, 18. You know that this doesn't correspond to the truth, what you say. 19. In fact, there are only few people who are both capable of such exertions and achievements and who are also able to raise such a tremendous willpower and energy, not only because of their will to live but also because of their sense of duty in terms of their task fulfillment. Billy, Quetzal, 20. It is good that you are silent and do not contradict me. 21. My words actually correspond to the truth. Billy, nevertheless, let's leave this, Quetzal, and talk about something else. Tell me, if I remember correctly, you told me some time ago that there are different so-called black holes, and these would vary from small to enormous. I talked with a visitor about the black hole of our galaxy and was then asked how big the actual core of the black hole of our galaxy, that is our Milky Way, is. This one specifically asked about the actual core and not about the total extent or total size. So I gave the answer, which I had recalled in accordance with your explanation, that the diameter amounts to 17 light hours. One told me that this probably had to be a mistake because black holes, if these should actually exist, would have to be much bigger and would comprise light years. But the black hole of our galaxy, as you said, comprises only 17 light hours in the core, while only the outer and radiating area is to be measured in light years. Quetzal, 22. Your answer was correct. Billy, I'm glad about that. A wrong answer would have probably led to the fact that one would have accused me that I had made up something. Quetzal, 23. Now, my friend, I have to discuss things with you, which are intended for you alone, if you have no more questions. Billy, I still have some questions, but these are of a purely private nature. But I can still ask these once we have discussed what your concern is. Quetzal, 24. It will, however, take up a lot of time. 25. Moreover, it is necessary that we go into my aircraft and leave the Earth for several hours. Billy, it will be a pleasure. Then fire away at once, or do we have to leave immediately? Quetzal, 26. Yes, we will immediately go into my aircraft. 228th contact, Monday, May 1st, 1989, 6:05 p.m. Quetzal, 1. I see that you've prepared some questions for me. 2. I will be happy to answer them for you, but afterwards, I would still like to discuss some private matters with you, which you should not pass on. Billy, of course. Does it concern private matters on your side or mine? Quetzal, 3. These are purely private matters that concern you alone. 4. They are really so private that you should not speak to anyone about them, and by this, I mean Earth people. 5. With every one of us, you can, of course, talk about them, if you need to do so. 6. But now, ask your questions. Billy, I'll think about it. Thanks. But to my first question, from you, I know that all animals, birds, fish, amphibians, and snakes, as well as various small life forms that belong in the areas of worms, beetles, and insects, etc. have a nervous system and are thereby also subject to pain. With the small and micro life forms and also with certain fish and other aquatic life, etc., the nervous system is sometimes so delicate that even a simple touch can be very painful. How can one define this feeling of pain? I mean, can one compare it to that of a person? Quetzal, 7. Depending on the life form, whether a micro life form, small life form, or large life form, the feeling of pain varies in intensity. 8. Small and micro life forms, always provided that they have a nervous system, feel pain in a finer form appropriate for them than what is the case with larger life forms, with which the feeling of pain is naturally expressed in a stronger manner. 9. The feeling of pain is incorporated into the genus, species, and size of the life form, whereby it also feels its pain in accordance with its evolutionary state. 10. The higher the evolutionary state is, the higher also is the feeling of pain. 11. In this consequence, the human being is distinguished with the highest feeling of pain, as he is consciously able to perceive and judge pains through his conscious awareness and also has a psyche that can be affected by pains of a psychological as well as physical nature. 12. With the human being, there still comes the fact of one's personal attitude regarding the view of pain. Consequently, pains of every kind, always according to the individual attitude and view, can be tolerated well or can degenerate into self-pity. 13. After humans come the higher life forms that have an instinct consciousness and, with it, also a psyche, by which they also perceive psychological and physical pains that, as already explained, are based on the size and evolutionary state of the life form. 14. Then there are the life forms that have a pure drive consciousness and, thus, do not have a psyche. 15. These life forms, again, according to their size or tininess, perceive purely physical pains. 16. The smaller the life form is, the lesser is the feeling of pain. The larger and more evolved the life form is, the greater is the feeling of pain. Billy, we have an old saying, never torment an animal for fun because it feels pain just like you do. But in accordance with your remarks, this applies, in my judgment, not only to animals but also to all other life forms, like birds, fish, amphibians, reptiles, various insects, and everything that crawls or flies. Quetzal, 17. That is not quite right, my friend, because various small and micro life forms and various insects only have an extremely weak nervous system, if at all. Billy, nevertheless, one shouldn't torment any life forms, not even the small and smallest ones. This includes insects. If these must be killed, then this should be quick and painless. This would also have to apply to animals for slaughter, which are indescribably beaten during transports to the slaughterhouses and then still cruelly tormented, hit, wounded, and tortured in these. This, together with the fact that the poor creatures do, indeed, sense that they will be put to death. The cruelest and most primitive way of putting the animals to death is probably the shechiter, while for fish, the just as cruel rule prevails that they have to die after gasping for oxygen because they are simply thrown into the dry, or they are cut open while still alive. Lobsters and crabs are thrown alive into boiling water. Small monkeys are stretched alive in special food tables in such a way that just their heads barely stick out of the center of the tables, whereby the diners then smash the skulls with several blows of small hammers to the fear-vexed primates, in order, then, to open them and eat the brains. Sharks are brutally thrown back into the sea, once their dorsal fins have been cut off of their living bodies. Young seals are beaten to death with clubs for their skins. Whales are shot with harpoons equipped with detonators, whose charges then explode in the whales' bodies. Horses are beaten to death with hammers. Dogs and cats are hung alive by their necks and their bellies are cut open, and so on and so forth. In the whole universe, there is probably no other life form than the human being, who is so barbaric, unscrupulous, merciless, callous, murderous, and degenerate. Quetzal, 18. With that, you, unfortunately, encounter the truth. Billy, unfortunately, yes. But another question, which was directed toward me and which I could not answer, it concerns the planet Neptune, or more precisely, its moons. To my knowledge, it is known to our astronomers that the planet has two moons, on the one hand, Nereid, and on the other hand, Triton. On my great journey, when I, through Tua's kindness, was allowed to observe all sol planets and their moons at close range, it was explained to me that Triton is the coldest structure among all the planets and moons in the sol system. At a later time, Sam Jace took me back to the moon Triton, where I observed an interesting phenomenon, namely that, like out of volcanoes, some steams, Regular steam jets escaped from craters of the moon's surface and then evaporated at a higher altitude. Now, I no longer remember what Sam Jace explained regarding what it concerned with these steams. That's the one. On the other hand, I noticed that the planet Neptune doesn't only have two moons but rather several of these. If I remember correctly, I counted eight larger ones, but in addition, still some smaller structures circled through the area. Quetzal, 19. With the moons, it has its correctness, consequently, there is nothing further to say to that. 20. Concerning the steams, it is to be said that it concerns evaporating nitrogen ice, which freezes out during the winter time and then evaporates, after the Triton winter, through the irradiation of the sun again. Billy, so the sun, with its radiation, still has a quite requisite strength even at this great distance. Neptune is, indeed, about 30 times as far from the sun as the Earth. Also, its equatorial diameter is about 4 times larger than the Earth's, so about 50,000 kilometers, and its mass is about 16 or 17 times that of the Earth. To my knowledge, it rotates on its own axis approximately every 16 hours. But still, to the planet Neptune itself, I admired the large dark spot of a gigantic cyclone or even several of these, as this is likewise the case with Saturn. I also found the ring system of Neptune to be magnificent. My question, now, is whether you can tell me how big the cyclone storm zone on Neptune is? Quetzal, 21. The Earth would just fit into the zone. Billy, so the diameter is more than 12,000 kilometers. Quetzal, 22. That is correct. Translator's note. The following portion was translated by Dyson Devine and Vivienne Legg. Billy, good. Then the next question, do you actually know the connections as to why two and Sam Jace, as well as you, are the leading people in regards the mission that I have to fulfill? Quetzal, 23. Your question strikes me as strange. Billy, and may I ask why, and will you answer my question now or not? Quetzal, 24. Why do you ask? 25. Your question sounds strange in my ears, with an undertone, exactly as if you want to test me as to whether I know more than you yourself do. Billy, but you also notice everything, my friend. Yes, I want to know what you know in regard to the connections. Maybe I also actually know something. Quetzal, 26. Sam Jace and I, as well as Tu and his father Sfuth as well as my father, have always belonged paternally to a line of descendants that leads back to Enoch and Nocademian as well as their sons. 27. These sons were the ones who were under an obligation to the mission, to instruct all who come from the Nocademian and Enoch lineage in hereditary seers in the teachings of the Spirit, and to preserve the entire knowledge regarding this, which had been constantly worked out to the present time and was recorded, and now encompassed more than 77 million Nom canons. 28. Now, in order to be able to fulfill this mission on other worlds, on which old spirit forms from the Enoch lineage, respectively, Nocademian lineage, thereby, reincarnated, because earlier humans from the named lineage passed away there, as also on the Earth, special humans were, since ancient times, sought out again and again from the concerned worlds, who were taught just as much by our ancestors and earliest originating ancestors as we likewise continue to do. 29. And because you are that person on the Earth who meets our requirements, naturally, we have considered your person for the teaching mission and as the announcer of the spiritual instructions. 30. Indeed, there are different vaguenesses in respect of the origin of your spirit form, yet it is to be assumed that we will also finally solve this riddle. 31. We do have our suppositions that we are following up and that we will surely soon finally clarify. 32. Our suppositions also lead us to think that you could tell us more about the origin of your spirit form than you tell us. 33. Hence, indeed, also the strange undertone to your question, as if you wanted to hear how much I know about it. Billy, It is indeed as you say.